pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
What do those words?
With States of America.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call-in number tonight at every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706, and I'm joined by that great American, Big Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing?
Good evening, Vito. Doing great, as always. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm all mixed up here. I had to get a new computer, and I'm figuring things out, and I'm getting the blog talk format back down, and I had some problems with had a call, you know, the tech support of the computer company, and oh my goodness, it's been a and then you couldn't hear me when we started.
So what'd you get, an Apple or a Bill Gates computer? People want to know.
I actually went this time around. I got an Apple.
Good for you.
Yeah, I thought it would be, I thought I lost all my info, and I did not, including the prior shows, so I got that.
Good.
Yeah, that was a big thing. The only, it's just getting adjusted, and then the microphone and the equipment for doing the show is working properly now, so I'll just see if that's going to continue.
Well, I hear you loud and clear.
Good.
You look as good as you can.
I have a face for radio.
That you do. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And, you know, I see Sue on the switchboard. Hello, Sue. How are you? And Bigfoot's in the house. Our big patriot, www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. I forgot to put it on the show page today, but one thing I want to say about Bigfoot, I have to tell you, man, this guy is a wealth of knowledge when it comes to music. So let me just play this clip really quick, okay? So Wednesday night on Joshua's show, the Simone Nicole show, Joshua played My Sweet Lord by Billy Preston. And I have been absolutely chomping at the bit at this, and I found the clip, and this is the version. So Joshua plays this song, and while it's playing, the historian of music, Bigfoot, puts up that on the chat. He says, you know, at the end of it, there's the Hindu gods that are named in the song. And it's like, holy cow, for as long as I've been listening to that song, it never resonated. So after the show was over, Joshua was over, I went to YouTube and pulled up Billy Preston with the lyrics, and I must have played it 10 times. And, man, and with the lyrics, you can read the Hindu gods that come up. And it was Hindu gods, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Rami, Guru Vishnu, Guru Bintu Guru Parabrahma, Guru Nama. And it's like, you know, you say those words for how many years since George Harrison did the original song. And it's like you never realize what's in the words of some of this music. So I got to give props to Bigfoot, man. This guy, if you ever want to know about music, this gentleman knows music, and he knows the artists, he knows the songs, he knows some of the origins, and he certainly knew about this one. So I was really impressed. I really was. I'm sorry.
Who came out with the song first? Billy Preston or George Harrison?
I think it's George Harrison.
Billy Preston.
No.
First. Billy Preston covered it. Or the other way around.
Harrison came out first, and then Preston redid it. And I think Preston redid it. The live version I saw was a dedication or a celebration of George Harrison. And it looked like George Harrison's son was playing the guitar after Harrison died. And I think Eric Clapton was playing a guitar. I think it looked like him or somebody that looks like him. So great version. Oh my God. I listened to it. I listened to it at least 12 times. I was reading the lyrics. I was writing down the Hindu gods at the end as it was coming up, and it was like, I can't believe this. All the songs, you sing the songs, you know the songs, and at the end of it, it was, tribute to George Harrison. That's correct. And it was amazing. I don't know. I find it fascinating. He just amazes me every Wednesday with his music knowledge.
Did not know this.
There you go. You got to just pull the version by Billy Preston and get the lyrics and then listen to it. And at the end, you'll see towards the end of the 5 minutes, they start singing the songs of the Hindu gods. The Hindu gods come up, and I'm writing down, you know, Hindu Devo, Hindu Guru Nama, you know, Parabrahma. It was good. It's good. So what also was impressive was yesterday, the final round of the Zozo Championship in Japan was played. The PGA was in Japan, and it's their only stop in Japan. And Colin Morikawa was two shots behind going into Sunday's round, and that man went on a tear. He shot a bogey-free 63, and he ran away with the tournament by winning by six shots over America's Eric Cole and Bo Hostler to notch his sixth PGA Tour victory. And it seems as though Colin Morikawa may have found something. He has been playing good golf. It seems like he's back on track. So he won the Zozo Championship. So congratulations.
That's a big win. Everybody likes Morikawa. Good guy.
Yeah, good guy. And his ancestry is half Japanese, so it made it even more special. And there was a bunch of Kawas in the field too. So Horikawa, Morikawa, and some other Kawa. I forget who it was, but yeah. So congratulations. And on the ladies' side, they were in Korea, just outside of Seoul. And Allison Lee of America against Minji Lee of Australia ended in a tie. They had a playoff. I fell asleep, but in the end, it was Minji Lee who won, bested Allison Lee. So Allison Lee was trying for her first LPGA Tour victory, and she came close, and she finished a solo second. So did you watch any of that by any chance?
Missed it all this weekend.
Missed it all.
I was out of town on a golf trip and missed all the golf.
Wow.
So I did watch some football in the evening. Watched Florida State win. Miami had a great comeback. I missed that game, but caught the highlights. Michigan State got trounced, but who cares about that? So watched some college ball. That was about it on the sports side this weekend.
Well,
sounds like good golf, though.
Yeah, it was good golf.
Congratulations to Morikawa. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was it was good. I did watch some college football, and it was sad to see Penn State again lose to Ohio State. And but you know what? iGuy really said something very, I think, poignant about the state of sports versus the state of affairs of our country. And it's amazing. He said, you know, just watch how Americans go crazy on Saturday for their football, and now it's football season on Sundays, and Americans go crazy. And yet, all around us, we have economic news, and maybe it's a way that we divorce ourselves for one day, 2 days from reality. But isn't it amazing how, you know, 100,000 people show up in Lansing, Michigan to watch the University of Michigan or in Ohio State, and you can't get, you know, 100,000 people out to a political function, or people just don't really seem to want to be engaged, you know? And he had a good point about that.
Yeah, that's a good observation. And that's how sports should be. Sports should be non-political. It's the game is your team versus the other team in the sports, and then you get into the plays, you get into the rules, you get into the minutia of the sport, and that is where it gets very interesting. But politics has no place in it. And unfortunately, politics has infiltrated the NFL, professional sports, the NFL, MLB, Major League Baseball, which is in playoff mode right now. And I think they've killed it. And they're working on destroying college ball, too, with this portal system. So,
I
don't know. What's your take on the portal system?
Explain it, because
some people may not be aware of it.
So basically, it's like a free agency. You've got the – and you know what? I think it was Lou Holtz that said it best. You know, it's a method of where young people today don't have to worry about showing their loyalty. And there's no consequences for one's actions. Well, I'm not a starter any longer for Notre Dame. I'm going elsewhere. And there were over 800 young men in the portal system, so they can pick and choose which colleges they'd like to go to if an offer is made. So if you're a quarterback from Notre Dame and you get benched, you can then take your talents to put yourself on a portal. And a school like University of Central Florida chooses you to be their starting quarterback or their quarterback, and then you basically would hope that you get chosen as a starter. You're a wide receiver for the University of Ohio State, and you don't get to start. You know, you take your spikes and you enter the portal system, and Michigan picks you up as a wide receiver. The best way to look at it this year, Deion Sanders gets hired as the coach of Colorado, University of Colorado. 85 players are chosen from the portal to join the Colorado Bison football team. So he has virtually a brand new team. Now, granted, you had a mass exodus from Colorado because of all the problems that they had over the last 2 years. And last year, they only won one game, fired the head coach, and many of the players left. But 85 players joined Deion Sanders. And like you, I'm not a fan of it. I think it sends the wrong message. You know, I know it's an issue of loyalty on both runs both ways, but commitment, desire is not. It's like there's no consequences for commitment. What's your take
on
it?
Well, I see one side where these kids, if they have talent, they can move and they can make a lot of money. Like Deion Sanders' kid is making $5 million a year by the pros or by
name
what he's
and
making, getting endorsements. Yeah, getting endorsements. And but like you said, the loyalty part is so you go to a college and you decide you get picked up by a school, you get a free education, and then if you excel at the college level, then the pros will pick you up. This is kind of like the farm league for football. But that's kind of changed, and as a capitalist, I should have no problem with the portal system. People move to where they can get the most return for their efforts, skills, and unique abilities. That's the capitalist side of me. But the other part of it is, hey, you go to a college, you stay at the college, and you play for your team. And then you get a free education, and off you go. And most of these guys don't even stay for 2 or 3 years max. They don't graduate, and off they go to off to the bigs, where they're making multi-million dollars. I don't blame them for that either, quite frankly. So I don't like it, but I don't have a good reason why I don't like it. It just doesn't sit well with me for reasons that I can't give you that make logical sense.
Well, I guess I'm just plain old school, and I from the standpoint that I think we send the wrong message about commitment, and we wonder why our society is the way it is. You know, I can understand the name and likeness, you know, profiting off of that, and certainly, you know, that should benefit the student, especially if the schools are making hundreds of millions of dollars. The NCAA is. That, you know, I don't think that's the issue, but I think the issue of commitment is something that we are seeing that lacks in America today.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? My wife and I are having a hard time. Let's just get a divorce and move on. Let's find somebody else. And, you know, oftentimes if you just stick it out and work out your problems, you probably can, you know, let's see, resolve the issue, but it's too easy just to walk away.
Right.
And I think that's what college, what college sports has come to, or college football has come to.
Yeah.
You know, and one other thing, like baseball, it's the same, to me, it's the same thing. When we were growing up, we knew every player on the team. We knew every position player on the team. We knew that Derek Jeter was playing shortstop. Jorge Posada was a catcher. You know, Thurman Munson was catching. I knew third base. Craig Nettles was third base. Today, you have to watch it every year because it changes rapidly. And you know, I guess it's the part of it of change. I don't begrudge the guys for getting money, but I just think I really do believe the commitment aspect is where we faltered in this country and in society in general.
Yeah, great topic. I don't have the answer on this one.
Well, and the other thing about
But I don't like it. I just don't like it. I think I don't like it. It's like go to the school, get your education. They can't take that away from you. And then if you're a super talent, then you go up to the bigs.
Yes.
And if the school makes a ton of money off of you, that's good because it'll help the school and hopefully keep the tuition down for all the students, which is pretty naive and stupid because that's not the case. So.
Well, Biden will forgive your student loans. Don't worry about that. Again, there's no worries about commitment because Biden's going to go ahead and the left wing in America is going to show you it's not your fault that you have college tuition before your archaeological dig French studies, you know.
Right. My major in gender studies is paid for. Thank you, Joe Biden.
I mean, yeah. So the other loyalty aspect of it and commitment is the loyalty to the United States of America. And yeah, I'm going to pick on Gavin Newsom right now. So Gavin Newsom was in communist China. He was in communist China for a week-long trip. Okay, so here's the AP version, which is really should tell you all you really need to know. Governor of California opened a week-long trip to communist China on Monday with an assurance that his state will always be a partner on climate issues, no matter how the U.S. presidential race turns out next year. So there is an anticipation that Dopey Joe might not win and President Trump might trounce him. And should President Trump win the 2024 presidential election, the progressives, the left wing, the uniparty are posturing themselves to bridge a gap between the communists and their left wing climate hoax agenda. Gavin Newsom comes as U.S. communist-Chinese relation witnessed a sharp deterioration in recent years due to trade disputes, U.S. support for self-governing Taiwan, and human rights concerns, among other contentious issues. So, folks, ask yourself, witnessed a sharp deterioration in recent years due to trade disputes. Now, certainly, Dopey Joe and his anti-American regime, the Obama alumni who encircles Joe Biden, has not engaged in any type of trade disputes with communist China. And if memory serves correct, it was President Donald Trump who sought to erase a $535 billion trade deficit with communist China and a $535 billion trade deficit, which was growing thanks to the U.S. taxpayer financing communist China. And so President Trump said, hey, this is not fair. The U.S. taxpayer shouldn't be financing communist China. So let's try to erase and eradicate that $535 billion trade deficit, which is one-eighth of the income that the U.S. Treasury was taking in. We take in $4 trillion. $535 billion was going to finance the trade deficit with communist China. And then, lo and behold, 12 days after signing that deal, communist China releases the Wuhan virus. But that's for another show. So it's not the Biden regime who is disputing any trade with communist China. U.S. support for self-governing Taiwan. Well, yeah, Dopey Joe has opined his support for Taiwan. It's how his anti-American regime, his handlers, how they fill in the teleprompter for Joe to read, or on the notes they give him, Joe, read these notes. We support Taiwan. And these human rights concerns, haven't really heard Dopey Joe talk about human rights concerning communist China. No Democrat has come out in opposition of communist China squelching the democracy movement that was afoot in Hong Kong, but then it was laid to rest with the release of the Wuhan virus. And how convenient was that? Further in the article, attempting to reinforce his state's role as global leader on climate change hoax, Newsom began his visit with a climate-themed discussion at the University of Hong Kong. He told the audience they can rely on California while addressing claims that the United States is not a reliable ally. So the taxpayers of California can be reassured that their extremist governor, Governor Gavin Newsom, will continue to rape the California Treasury to comply with the globalist climate change hoax. And that's exactly what it is. It's a climate change hoax. I want you to know, regardless of what happens nationally, subnationally, you have a partner in the state of California. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. If you want climate change, if you want to adhere to the climate hoax, just move to California. Climate remains one area where collaboration is seen as possible and necessary. Both countries appear to have fully reengaged in the run-up to the next UN Climate Change Hoax Conference, which opens November 30 in Dubai. Now, there is a city that really adheres to climate change, right? Sure. Yeah, tell yourself. They build the tallest buildings in the world, and they use all kinds of resources. They have intruded on the ocean waters or on the sea waters by building cities on top of that, which means more people. More people use more resources. More resources, people use more environment, have more environmental needs. And then they talk about climate change. See, the United Nations is nothing but a globalist hoax. Newsom said China, communist China, and the U.S. have longstanding partnership on the issue of the climate change hoax. Because, listen, the communist China does not adhere to any portion of the UN climate change hoax treaty. The Paris Accord is nothing but a way for the United Nations, the useless nations, to ensure that the United States funnels money we don't have from our taxpayer coffers, okay, to offset what the rest of the world is not paying. So the United States over a 10-year period is said to will be said to have deposited more than $81 trillion to support this climate change hoax. How much will communist China? How much will India pay? We don't know. I mean, communist China is still building coal-fired plants. And we have Dopey Joe and his radical anti-American regime in support of closing coal-fired plants in the United States, as they've done in Massachusetts. Oh, I'm sorry. It wasn't they. It was the electric company that closed a coal-fired plant in Massachusetts, which caused an immediate rise in utility costs to the average taxpayer, average Joe in Massachusetts, of anywhere from 67 to 100%. Your bill was $250 for electric this month. Next month, it came in for the same watt usage, the same usage of watts, it came in at $500. That's not 57% increase. That's not a 67% increase. Under the old math, it's 100% increase. So now we have Gavin Newsom ensuring that he is doing the bidding for the Marxists in the United States, and now has committed the people of California to sign on and adopt the climate change hoax of the United Nations of the Paris Accord. Newsom said communist China and U.S. have longstanding partnership on the issue of climate change. Well, if communist China is building at a rate of 2 coal-fired plants a month, and the United States is cutting coal-fired plants, I don't see how that's building a longstanding partnership. If communist China is going into Afghanistan and raping the land of minerals, I don't see how that's a longstanding partnership, especially after Dopey Joe immediately withdrew from Afghanistan in one of the worst blunders, foreign policy blunders, of any president in the United States. Li Yongsheng, Deputy Commissioner of Chinese Foreign Ministry in Hong Kong, said at the opening of the event that communist China-U.S. relations have shown positive signs of rebounding. Yes, I'm sure they sent the check to the Biden family, the Biden crime family, because they did infuse $72 million into the Penn Biden Center. Joe Biden has an office in Chinatown in Washington, D.C., and of course, that's where Joe Biden had stolen documents, top secret documents, classified documents stored in both locations. So Joe Biden can be bought. He's nothing but a pimp for communist China. Other attendees included Gregory May, U.S. Consul General in Hong Kong, Eden Woon, the president of the American Chamber of Commerce in Hong Kong, and Elsie Luong, Hong Kong former Secretary of Justice. Newsom's trip to Communist China has drawn concerns from some 60 advocacy groups and non-governmental organizations. They expressed their disappointment in a joint statement Friday, characterizing the governor's trip as a move to explicitly turn away from engaging on critical human rights issues. No, it's just yet another Democrat gone rogue. You see, Joe Biden is not well enough to represent the United States of America. So the Washington, D.C. machine now, the syndicate in Washington, D.C., is dispatching their left-wing lunatics like Gavin Newsom, you know, the good-looking pretty boy who can complete a sentence and barely speak gibberish as he's done here, and do the bidding for Joe Biden because Joe Biden is not well enough to think on his feet. And we've witnessed that over the last 2 weeks, especially with his trip to Israel, having to rely on a note card in front of him and still fucking that up. Joe Biden is an embarrassment. But the Washington, D.C. syndicate has gotten enough life out of Joe Biden. I think they've gotten more than they had bargained for. So now they're sending out their surrogates. And one of the surrogates is pretty boy Newsom. That's Nancy Pelosi's nephew. And sending him out on these missions and to forward the climate change hoax and do so. And Communist China laughs because Communist China isn't participating. Yes, in name only. But in the meantime, the United States of America is funding the lion's share once again of the climate change hoax under the Paris Accord and under the UN ruse of climate change. So, Al, those are my comments. I don't think Joe Biden is well enough to travel. You could tell by the impromptu travels that he had to make, where suddenly he found time to fly to Israel, but he still doesn't have time to find time to go to, I don't know, East Palestine, Ohio, to address the environmental disaster that befell that area. And, you know, for a guy that so wants to talk about the climate and he's so environmentally concerned, he certainly has shunned the people of East Palestine, Ohio.
Yeah, we haven't heard much from East Palestine, Ohio. Did it miraculously decontaminate itself?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Pete Buttcheeks was there and stuff, and I'm sure he went ahead and got on his bike, and they did eradicate any type of environmental disaster that's occurred there.
Good to know. I'll rest easy tonight. Thank you.
So, well, what's your take on, first of all, on Newsom traveling to Communist China and under the guise of representing California?
Well, as Newsom is a Marxist, he is going to pay homage to Xi Jinping and get his place as he runs for higher office, and he's getting bought and paid for as we speak. In fact, he's an elite capture that goes to the bad guys, so they don't even have to do anything because he came to them. So when is an elite capture not a elite capture? It's when the mark goes straight to the Marxist communist government. And for those who don't know, an elite capture is that's China, communist China's name for when they compromise an individual to do their bidding in another country or another world leader or someone of importance in business, technology, music, it doesn't really matter. It's called an elite capture when they get the goods on you and they own you and then they end up telling you what to do. Well, Gavin Newsom has taken the capture out of elite capture, and it is pure surrender. He's an elite surrender. So yeah. That's my new name for Gavin Newsom. He's the elite surrender.
That's really good. That's a very, very good awareness on that one. There's a lot more to this, and that's a great find because it goes along with Dianne Feinstein. You know, she had a communist spy driver. Communist mm-hmm. Chinese spy driver for 20 years. And then, of course, you've got Eric Swalwell, representative from California, whose political congressional political career was launched by the communist Chinese and a communist Chinese operative, Fang Fang. So, you know, those two items, along now with Newsom being an elite surrenderist, has made it quite easy for communist China to enrich themselves in, let's say, American politics, especially within the Democrat Party.
I agree.
You know, it's one thing after another with the Democrat Party, and in the show notes, the episode info today, I had put in, obviously we are going to continue to talk about Israel, you know, and most media sources are continuing, and the Democrat Party members continue to provide food for fodder. In the United States, we have this thing called the Designated Foreign Terrorist Organization. And the United States government, under the United States Department of State, declares and names organizations foreign terrorist groups. And let me just read you the quick paragraph from the U.S. State Department, the Bureau of Counterterrorism. Foreign terrorist organizations, FTOs, are foreign organizations that are designated by the Secretary of State in accordance with Section 219 of the Immigration and Nationality Act, as amended. The FTO designations play a critical role in our fight against terrorism and are an effective means in curtailing support for terrorist activities and pressuring groups to get out of the terrorist business. On October 8th, 1999, Al-Qaeda was named a terrorist organization. 3 years or 2 years later, we all know what happened on September 11, 2001. On October 8, 1997, the United States declared Hamas to be a foreign terrorist organization, along on that same day with Hezbollah. Now, I find it very interesting that the United States government has named Hamas as a foreign terrorist organization, has not deleted that from their list. And one of the objectives of the FTO is designations play a critical role in our fight against terrorism and are an effective means of curtailing support for terrorist activities. Unless, of course, your name is Rashida Mother Effer Tlaib or incestuous Ilhan Omar, or even the extreme Hakeem Jeffries. It seems as though these terrorist sympathizers are now within our government. The explanatory memorandum, as written by the Muslim Brotherhood in 1994, states, "The process of settlement is a civilization jihadist process with all the word means. The Ikhwan must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers so that it is eliminated and God's religion is made victorious over all other religions. And with the Muslim Brotherhood, God's religion is Islam." And we have Rashida Tlaib of Michigan and incestuous Ilhan Omar, both supporters of Hamas. The foreign terrorist organization, the FTO designation, plays a critical role in our fight against terrorism and are a means of curtailing support for terrorist activities. What Hamas did and what Hamas has done for the last 20 years is attack Israel, our ally, And what they did on October 7th was attack and brutalize the Israelis. What they did was inhuman, is what they did. They pulled Israelis, they pulled Jews out of their houses. They killed them. They decapitated them. And two congressional supporters, Rashida Mother Effort Tlaib and incestuous Ilhan Omar, not to mention Ayanna Pressley, not to mention Alexandria Cortez, Jamal Bowman, all support a designated foreign terrorist organization by the name of Hamas. Not only that, we have a president in name only, Joe Biden, who now wants to send $3.5 or $5 billion to the Palestinians. And you notice, just take note, how Rashida Mother Effort Tlaib, incestuous Ilhan Omar, and dopey Joe Biden don't use the term Hamas as they denigrate Israel. It's all about supporting the Palestinians. Really? Well, the Palestinians in Gaza don't support Israel. The Palestinians in Gaza support Hamas. Hamas controls Gaza. I'm not going to tell you that. Al will tell you that. He knows firsthand about that. And yet, the extreme Hakim, the minority leader of the House Democrat Party, has yet to censor, has yet to admonish at no less than three supporters of a designated foreign terrorist organization, Hamas. Rashida, Mother Effort Tlaib, incestuous Ilhan Omar, Alexandria Cortez, Ayanna Pressley. Where is the extreme Hakeem Jeffries, huh? Where is he? He's all talking about MAGA, okay? MAGA is not a problem in the United States. As a matter of fact, making America great again is not a terrorist move. It is a move to make America great because we are watching how Marxists are destroying our constitutional republic. And they use the term rule of law in a cliche, in name only. We're watching how Rashida Mother Effort Tlaib, a Palestinian, has scrapped the U.S. Constitution, has scrapped the foreign terrorist organization's list, and has embraced terrorists who's a member of the United States Congress. Incestuous Ilhan Omar goes on some sort of stupid rant. And they seem to justify the actions of Hamas, the brutality, the genocide of Jews by Hamas, a hate organization, a terrorist organization. Don't tell me that they're soldiers. They're soldiers of Allah, which are terrorists. On October the 9th, 1997, the United States designated two organizations among one, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 13 on that day. Hamas, Hezbollah, Kurdistan Workers' Party, Liberation Tigers of Tamil Elam, the National Liberation Army, the Palestine Liberation Front, Palestine Islamic Jihad, the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine. How in the hell, how in the world are Omar, incestuous Ilhan Omar, Omar Ahmad, Nihad Awad, Rashida Mother Effort Tlaib in the United States of America? And why aren't we talking about these designated foreign terrorist organizations? Oh, that's because, Vito, they take the name Hamas away, and in order to tug at your heartstrings, you say Palestinians. Well, the last time I checked, 74 seats were won by Hamas in the last election. 45 were won by Fatah. So the people of Palestine voted in Gaza, the people of the Gazans voted for Hamas to be the government. And when Barack Hussein Satoru Obama in 2009 sent $3.5 billion to aid Gaza, it went right to Hamas, who built tunnels, elaborate tunnels, air-conditioned tunnels, driving into Israel, under the Israeli earth, in order to access their way into Israel to kill Jews. And now these Hamas sympathizers in Congress want you and me to believe that Israel is attacking Gaza, when in fact it is Hamas who launches the rockets and missiles to kill Jews. And on October 7th, the genocide committed by Hamas on Jews was the final straw. And for Tlaib and Omar to condone these actions of their fellow Muslims is reprehensible. It is sick. These are sitting members of the United States Congress who profess, like the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, profess human rights, which also tells us that the Organization of Islamic Cooperation's UN Resolution 1618 is nothing but a sham. Just like climate change, the UN Resolution 1618 is a hoax. It was designed to disarm the West. It was designed for two things only by Islam. It was designed for domination, and it was designed for supremacy. Both inflicted on the West. Don't believe anything else when it comes to the Organization of Islamic Cooperation and UN Resolution 1618. Now, it is true that in this resolution, it does not use the term Islam, but it does state the very first paragraph, combating intolerance, negative stereotyping and stigmatization of, and discrimination, incitement to violence, and violence against persons based on religion or belief. Now, I don't know what you call October 7th. If you don't think Hamas inflicted violence, inflicted absolute savagery on Israel on October 7th. And the OIC, the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, is silent. UN Resolution 1618 was adopted by all 57 Islamic states, including the Palestinian territory. They make up the 57 Islamic states. Not one Islamic state has had the intestinal fortitude to step outside and condemn Hamas, their Muslim brother, for attacking Israel and inflicting that type of savagery and brutality on that country. Folks, UN Resolution 1618 is a sham. It is a hoax. It is being perpetrated on the West by the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. Canada, one of the first countries to adopt UN Resolution 1618 under the law M103, under Justin Trudeau, he cowed to Islam. He cowed to the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. That only emboldened the United Nations and the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. But now we have a situation on October 7th that the world had witnessed. And we saw the intolerance. We saw the violence. We saw the incitement to violence. Israel has a right to defend herself. Hamas stepped over the line, funded by Iran. Iran stepped over the line. And now there are consequences for that. Al?
Well, cryptocurrency is now funding Hamas. People are wondering where they're getting the money from. We used to always think it was from their Islamic brothers and sisters throughout the Muslim world. But it seems like Hamas has mastered the world of cryptocurrency, and they are raising millions of dollars through the untouchable cryptocurrency market, which is something new, and few people are reporting on. So that is a very interesting data point that few people are talking about.
So the cryptocurrency?
Correct.
So let me get this straight. So basically the foreign terrorist organization Hamas keeps the Gazans in squalor, and yet the foreign terrorist organization Hamas buys weapons, they buy missiles, they buy rockets, and now they're dabbling in cryptocurrency, and all the while the Gazans are suffering under a government that they voted for.
Pretty much. And it's interesting, the Middle East Media Research Institute, or MEMRI, was reporting this story, and what they do, this group, is all they do, their whole existence, is to take Middle Eastern Arabic press and translate it into English. And this story is fresh news from today, and that Hamas, along with other Gaza jihadi organizations, raised over $100 million in cryptocurrency to fund their jihad against Israel from 2019 to today. And this is fascinating stuff, fascinating news.
Well, we got a question in the chat room, and it's from our friend Holger, and he asked the question, why have the Israelis still not moved their ground operation into Gaza? And I want to get your take on it, Al. I have an opinion, and I'll tell you what.
What is it?
So I'm reading Conservative Treehouse yesterday, and there's an article titled "Biden Administration Seeking Delay of Israeli Ground War to Gain More Time for Hostage Talks." And I got to tell you, if you have the opportunity, folks, to go to Conservative Treehouse, read this article. It actually answers, I think it answers Holger's question. And the issue is, when have you ever seen Hamas surrender any hostages? Never. Okay? So we have a situation right now where the hostages are used as pawns by a terrorist organization, Hamas. Hamas launches the first salvo. They strike Israel. They kill over 1,400 people, 1,400 Jews. They kill 25 Americans. They also take over, 200 hostages. And the U.S. media, they all want to be the first to report, is Israel going to ground? Israel's going to have a ground operation. Israel prepared to go in. Israel prepared to go into Gaza. Israel's prepared to go into Gaza. Okay. Every day. Everybody wants to be the first scoop. But this article is absolutely spot on. The Biden administration has pressed Israel to delay its imminent invasion of Gaza to allow for the release of more hostages held by Hamas and for aid to reach Gaza, according to two sources briefed the discussion. The release of two American hostages held by Hamas Friday signaled that more of roughly 200 people believed to be kidnapped by militant group may be freed after they were taken during the group's deadly attacks launched against Israel 2 weeks ago. The administration pressed Israeli leaders to delay because of progress on the hostage front. So basically, Joe Biden, actually the Biden regime, his handlers are a tool. They're doing the bidding for Hamas. They're doing the bidding for Iran. They're doing the bidding for Turkey. They're doing the bidding for Qatar. Why is it that some Hamas leaders are now being harbored in Turkey? Some Hamas leaders, one or two now, are in Qatar. One, is it a time for the Hamas terrorists to flee the area, thereby leaving their own Gazans, fellow Gazans, their fellow Palestinians that they care so deeply about, like the Shida mother effort to leave and incestuous Ilhan Omar care about? And why is it suddenly that Qatar is the middleman and seeking a delay in Israel going after these mongrels, these uncivilized animals? And I think this is part of the strategy on the part of Hamas, Iran, Qatar, Turkey, Communist China, and, of course, the anti-American, anti-Israel Biden regime, Biden-Harris regime. Because Joe Biden is not smart enough, nor well enough, and mentally astute enough to do this on his own. So I think they have tied the hands of Netanyahu, who they despise. They have despised Netanyahu for years. And there is proof of that, because it was the Obama-Biden regime who went to great efforts to defeat Benjamin Netanyahu in 2014, when Obama sent his campaign team into Israel to work for the opposition party. I think that I think we're witnessing an effort on the part of the pro-Hamas movement. Communist China doesn't call Hamas or refer to Hamas as terrorists. Communist China now seems to have the backs of the theocratic terrorist regime of Iran. I mean, after all, Communist China, who is buying 1 million barrels of Iranian oil a day, and it was Joe Biden and his anti-American regime who basically looked the other way, including John Kerry, who helped broker that Iran deal. Not the treaty, not Iran treaty. It's an Iran deal. It's not a treaty because the United States Senate never ratified it. And I have to say one thing. I was absolutely surprised back in 2014 or 15 that there were some senators, U.S. senators, who pushed back on Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama's use of the term treaty when, in fact, they never brought it before the U.S. Senate. So, Al, what's your take on why Israel hasn't executed a ground? I think you would probably be more of an expert than I.
No. It's the only people that really know are the Israeli army, but it seems like the whole world is calling for this ground assault to take place. But Israel has 300,000 people, soldiers, to go in on this ground offensive, which is not very many people, and there is nothing more dangerous than street fighting in a closed environment with tunnels, catacombs all throughout the area. It's very, very dangerous. My guess is that Israel is just waiting it out and waiting for their supplies to get low and then just picking them off wherever they can with artillery, drones, and other munitions that they can fire in without risking human life. And they may even send in drones as well and do that rather than a conventional ground assault, because it's just too dangerous. If I was them, I would wait, and I just keep lobbing rockets at them, mortars, tank shells, and just keep hitting target after target after target, because they can paint the targets from the drones that are flying overhead, so they don't need to risk humans to go in there and paint targets, find all the tunnels so they can bomb them. That's my feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to where they're getting their money, guess who is on their side, on the side of Gaza and where they're raising money from? And it's primarily the neo-Nazis, white supremacists, and anti-government extremists on social media platforms who have been expressing unprecedented support for Hamas, its killing of civilians, and its calls for killing Jews in general. An example of this happening in crypto land is the National Socialist Group on one of the leading extremist platforms shared in October 15, 2023, cryptocurrency addresses for Bitcoin and Ethereum cryptocurrency and added, quote, "Personally, I hope my donation goes towards the paraglider fund. They could use some relaxation and recreation." And the references to the Hamas members who use paragliders to take out and kill Israeli soldiers in a new way. So there's a lot of things that are happening with this that are new and unique. So I'm glad that Israel is biding their time.
Now, do you think that Israel under Netanyahu is playing a mind game and is keeping Hamas off stride, you know, with regards to it appears, I know the U.S. media, and I've watched some of the, like a BBC, and they said a ground attack is imminent. Do you think that that's probably giving Hamas leaders agita, and why they've dispatched Erdogan and they dispatched Qatar to take in the Muslim Brotherhood Hamas terrorists, leaders?
Yeah. Leave them alone, and they are a very paranoid bunch, and part of what they're doing is they're killing all suspected collaborators and just taking them to a pit and shooting them dead. But with collaborators, there's no judge, jury, and executioner. It's a Hamas operative or Hamas leader going, Saeed Mohammed is a collaborator, whether they have proof or not. And then they take him out back and shoot him, and nobody says a thing. The press is silent. The world is silent. And we've seen videos of this, of these murders. So I believe Bibi is probably like, let's just let them stew in their own hell for a little while, and then they'll start turning on themselves, as they have done and will, as they've done in the past and most likely will do in the future. But the only the betrayal from Biden is very disconcerting, because they need our money to rearm. They need our munitions. But Biden has betrayed Israel by adding on humanitarian aid is a third of whatever is offered for American aid. For example, Ukraine is getting the full 6 billion aid. Israel's getting 4, but 1.3 of that has to go to humanitarian aid to give aid and comfort to the people who they're fighting and trying to wipe out is Hamas. And there is no army. They don't have it's a guerrilla army. So Biden is forcing them to give aid and comfort to the enemy that they're trying to get rid of. So, it's a bad situation. Biden is not a help. The West is not a help, and we're seeing that across our country with these pro-Hamas rallies at Harvard University and all over the country and frankly, all over the world. Who knew that Hamas had so much support?
Well, here's the funding breakdown, okay? And this is what this should also, I agree 100% with regards to Biden's betrayal and having to tie the funds to Ukraine, having to tie America's border support to Ukraine, having to tie support for Israel to Ukraine, and then funding the very terrorist organization that started this whole mess, Hamas. The funding proposal includes $61.4 billion for Ukraine, $14.3 billion for Israel. $10.6 billion of that will be allocated for military aid, $13.6 billion for border protection, And significant investment in Indo-Pacific security assistance totaling $7.4 billion. Additionally, there's $9 billion earmarked for humanitarian aid in Ukraine, Israel, and Gaza. So here, once again, the Biden regime, the anti-American, the anti-Israel Biden regime, finds ways to fund terrorist organizations. They released $6.5 billion under the guise of humanitarian aid, okay, to Iran in exchange for five American prisoners for five Israeli prisoners. I'm sorry, Iranian prisoners. The United States didn't get any compensation from the theocratic terrorist regime of Iran. Iran gets $6.5 billion released. Well, Vito, that was for humanitarian aid. Sure. Okay. I have some swampland in Florida to sell you. It's great waterfront property. And now you've got like Ukraine, like Biden, their Biden regime has done with Ukraine, they've managed to support both sides of the war efforts. We would give another $61 billion plus another $3 billion to Ukraine. That would be $64.4 billion to Ukraine. We buy Russian oil because Dopey Joe and his anti-American regime have taken America off of energy independence. They're bleeding the Strategic Petroleum Reserve dry in order to artificially lower gas prices in America while they plunge America into an energy crisis, which will probably happen by 2024 in full bloom, just for when, you know, Dopey Joe is sent to the sanitarium. So we buy Russian oil, which affords Russia the ability to continue their fight against Ukraine. We fund Ukraine, which enables them to fight the Russians, and the U.S. media is silent. They're silent. And then you have these anti-Americans, these anti-constitutionalists on both sides of the political aisle, like McConnell, who want to fund Ukraine at every turn. And now you've got Dopey Joe and his anti-Semitic regime funding Gazans. Hamas runs Gaza. And, of course, it's not funding Hamas. It's funding the Palestinian people. Really. Who controls Gaza? Let's go back to the basics of this. Who controls Gaza? Hamas. Who launched a terrorist attack against Israel? Hamas. So now we're talking about humanitarian aid. That's a great distraction by the left wing in America. They always find these politically correct terms in order to disarm the American people. They're pissing away $61.4 billion of taxpayer money to Ukraine. They're pissing away $9 billion to Ukraine, to Gaza, to Israel. Oh, and guess what else is tied to this lack of transparency? $13.6 billion for border protection. Joe, you're a little late with the border protection. These should be single-item issues. These should be single-item issues. But you see, you hold the American taxpayer hostage. Oh, we support the war in Ukraine, and we must fund it. We support Israel. We must. You know, we need to send some humanitarian aid to Hamas. I mean, that would be the only humane thing to do. Really? Oh, well, let's not talk about the inhumane thing they did, pulling Israelis out of their homes and killing them, slaughtering them on the streets. I mean, what's going on? You know, this to me, it continues to confirm that it was an intentional act of getting rid of Donald J. Trump. We have never seen this type of chaos in 1,007 days. Never before have we seen such turmoil in the United States and around the world, and how this one man and his Obama alumni have plunged America into chaos. All by design. I see I guy in the chat room, and therefore just that's his wonderful saying. All by design. Al, the Viking is on the phone, and good evening, Holger.
Welcome.
Good evening. Good evening, fellers.
Welcome, Infidel.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty easy to be. Well, of course, we're all infidels, other than the members of the squad.
Oh my God! Oh, it was just absolutely disgraceful.
I mean, AOC and Ayanna Pressley. They, you know, I didn't. When did they submit to Islam? I can't remember that happening. But apparently they did.
Well, you want me to answer that for you really quick? I'll tell you really quick. When did they submit? So Islam has allied itself with the Democrat Party in America because the Democrat Party and Islam both despise our constitutional republic. Omar Ahmad of CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, said it best. Islam is not in America to be equal, but to become dominant. The Quran, the Muslim book of scripture, should be the highest authority in America, and Islam the only accepted religion on earth. They have aligned with the Democrat Party because the Democrat Party despises our constitutional republic. That takes us back to Global Patriot Radio's founding in 2008, and it's still true today, okay? 15 years later, it's the same mission statement by Islam, and now they've become more emboldened in the United States because they have useful idiots like Alexandria Cortez and Ayanna Pressley, and now, of course, they have incestuous Ilhan Omar and Rashida Motherfucker Tlaib. Go ahead.
Okay. That wasn't very quick, but...
Yeah.
Very good.
You asked.
All right, so... I was very happy, I think it was a couple weeks ago, right, you know, a couple days after the attacks, when Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu came out and said this: we will destroy Hamas, and we will win. Okay? So I got excited, because I thought to myself, they're finally going to eliminate Hamas, not weather the storm for a little bit and just wait for another few years to go by, and then they fire another 1,000 rockets off, and we start the whole process all over again. He's actually going to go in and destroy them, eliminate them, okay? So the point being is this. I think for the first time ever, the barbarity of these attacks, the absolute mind-boggling evil that the world was shown, that Hamas did to these Israeli civilians, was so horrendous that this was finally the chance that Israel was going to have to go in with a ground operation and root these guys out and finally eliminate them. You know, there's always pushback from the world, you know, because Israel is oppressive and they've got too many weapons and all this kind of good stuff. But this was the time to do it, because fewer and fewer people were able to deny not only the barbarity of the attacks, but the fact that 1,500 people were killed compared to, like, a normal... you know, 100 or 200, okay? And the fact of the matter is, from what I've read, Hamas has got between 30,000 and 40,000 soldiers, okay? If anybody knows that you can't win You can't destroy, you can't eliminate an enemy with air power, with missiles, with artillery. It would be United States of America. Just look at our actions in Afghanistan. You can't do it. Okay? I mean, if you're going to eliminate an enemy, if you're going to literally wipe them out, you have to go in and do it. We did the same thing in Iraq. We could not make any headway in Fallujah or Ramadi until we went in, until the Marines went into those cities and rooted those fuckers from Al-Qaeda and ISIS out. So my point being is this. I don't think it's a coincidence. The Israelis went into Gaza with a ground operation in 2002 in what was called Operation Defensive Shield. In 2008, they went into Gaza again in what was called Operation Cast Lead. Okay? It's not a coincidence, I don't think, that ever since Barack Obama put his hand on the Quran and took the oath of office as president, that Israel has never gone back into Gaza. I don't think that's a coincidence. I think the fact of the matter is this, is Joe Biden thinks he's president of Israel. And I think Joe Biden has gotten to Bibi Netanyahu and said this, that the chances of this thing escalating with Iran attacking, with Hezbollah attacking, is going to be too great for Israel to handle, and they can't do it on their own. They'll need tons of weapons from America. They might even need American military assistance. And by God, if you set one foot in Gaza, Mr. Netanyahu, you're not going to get any fucking help from us. That's what he's told them. That's why Israel hasn't gone into Gaza. So the point being, my call is this, is 2 years from now, there's going to be another string of attacks in Israel. There's going to be another 1,500 or 2,000 people killed, decapitated, raped, burned alive, murdered because they didn't get rid of Hamas. Bottom line is, this attack has shown the fact that with Iranian research and development, with Iranian input, with Iranian resources, with Iranian money, their attacks into Israel have gone from Stone Ages to modern day. So in 2 years, it could be even worse. And I agree 100% with Al that going into Gaza is a nightmare. But we knew it was a nightmare to send Marines into Ramadi and Fallujah, Iraq. We knew that was a nightmare. We didn't want to do that, but we had no choice. And luckily for us Americans, we've got a bunch of Marines that we live side by side with who said, you know, I signed up to give my life for my country, and I'm going to do it in Ramadi, and I'm going to do it in Fallujah.
True.
And I, you know, if I'm an Israeli citizen, and this shit blows over in 2 months from now because Joe Biden still can't get 25 or 30 of these as hostages out, and 6 months later, you know, he's under the Jimmy Carter era where, the fact, you know, they're going to put the number up on the screen every night on the news. Well, it's day number 422 where the hostages are still in Gaza, you know. If I'm an Israeli citizen, I'm going to look at Netanyahu and say, you lied to us. You said that you would destroy Hamas. So I hate to say it because I'm such a devoted supporter of Israel. But if they don't take Hamas out with this opportunity, when they've got this kind of evidence in front of the world where they could finally do it without getting, you know, sanctioned by every world court, if they miss this opportunity, then the next attack is on them. I'm not even going to feel bad, because they had a chance to rid themselves of this threat. And they can bomb and they can do air attack after air attack. They can send in 2,000 drones, and when the dust settles 6 months later, there's still going to be 25,000 Hamas soldiers in that strip of land. Guarantee it.
Now, I know this is different. This is a little bit different, okay? And I think part of the problem that we have in the modern day society is we watch a TV show, for instance, and it's over in an hour and everything's resolved. Like the 1972 games in Munich, where the Palestinians took the Israeli hostages. That was not done in 24 hours. That was, I believe it was a two-week period of time. It ended on September the 11th. I know that. I'm going to Google it right now. But that was ended in September 11th, 1972. I could be wrong, but I have, you know, my friends in Israel, I keep in touch with them now on a daily basis to see how they are doing and what's going on. And I don't think that this is a rush to judgment attack. And I think that Netanyahu and his war council are posturing themselves, and they will do it under their terms. And if they start seeing this, and you know what? I think they believe that this hostage negotiation issue is a delay tactic. I think it only helps Netanyahu and the Israelis. They get their teams together properly. They get their strategy. And as Al said, you know, fighting a ground war amongst the Palestinians is a tough job. And you'll need several hundred soldiers just to maintain the tunnels, for crying out loud. So like the 1972 hostage-taking situation, that was not resolved in a day or a week. It took a couple of weeks to resolve that. And then the Palestinians went in, and you know what? There were how many hostages that were killed? They went in, and they took out the terrorists. So I have some faith, though. I don't think it's going to happen overnight. I don't think it's going to be another month, but I think that something's going to happen.
I believe strongly in Netanyahu. The difference is this, though, in my mind, is Netanyahu is smart. Mm-hmm. He knows America. He's a tough guy. He's a tough negotiator. He's a brilliant man, and he knows, in my mind, in my view, that Joe Biden is his enemy.
Mm-hmm.
His net result is Obama and Biden together were his enemy. They wanted to go back to the pre-67 lines, for God's sakes. He knows they both are enemies. And Biden is basically just a carbon copy of Obama's ideas and so forth. I passed on to you, Vito, in that text message when I listened to Bauer and Rose this weekend on satellite radio, when they made the statement that America sent the carrier ships into the Mediterranean wasn't to protect Israel from Hezbollah missile attacks or to try and keep them from starting those attacks. I can't remember if it was Bauer or Rose. One of them's a Jew, so it was the Jew. And he said that they were sent in there to protect Hezbollah and Iran from Israel striking first. Think about that. Think about that. I mean, it sounds pretty far-fetched, but think about it. Would Joe Biden be willing to literally threaten Israel when Israel seems determined to strike first on Tehran? I don't think so.
Mm-mm.
So I hope you're right, Vito. I hope that Netanyahu's got some kind of a great card. You know, the other thing is this, and I just, the last point I'll throw out is this, is, you know, if you look at this ongoing war in Ukraine and Russia, okay, I mean, I've seen about, in 2+ years, I've seen probably 6 clips from that entire war, and they look like something that somebody filmed on their 8mm home recording thing back when, you know, like Stalin was still in power. But when Israel goes into Gaza, by God, you got every media outlet in the world in Gaza filming those dead babies in their arms of their daddy, you know, the same kid with 15 different dads. I mean, have you ever noticed that? That whenever
yes.
there's an operation going on by the Israelis against Gaza, every journalist in the world is there. Every camera crew is there. The reports are continuous 24 hours a day. But for 2.5 years, after we spent hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars in Ukraine, we don't even get a picture of anybody in that frickin' war.
And none of the journalists are wearing flak jackets and military helmets to protect them from arsenal or shrapnel or bombs that go by. But in Israel, I was watching Newsmax the other day, and just as the individual was reporting from Israel, there were some explosions in the background. He's, hold on a second, let me put my flak jacket on and my helmet. We haven't seen that in 16 months in Ukraine.
Yeah.
But so, nothing to see here,
a lot
though.
Of theater going on and all that kind of good stuff. But I am just absolutely convinced that if this indeed is the Biden line, is that they want to give a chance for the hostages to be released and so forth. You know, maybe I missed it. I haven't been following it that closely, but I haven't seen a whole lot of action by the Biden administration to get those hostages out. The first two that were released by Hamas were like a complete surprise, and I don't think anybody was more surprised than Joe Biden. I think the families of those people, I think they did a deal with Hamas. I think they paid for their loved ones to get out of there. They paid big bucks to get them out of there. But Joe Biden was just like, well, I'm really glad you got out. You know, in other words, we didn't do a fucking thing to make it happen because we don't even know our ass from a hole in the ground. So, Joe Biden, he's not going to get a single hostage out of there. He couldn't even get our people out of Afghanistan when we still had the airport under our control. He couldn't get anybody out.
Well,
he can't even get off a beach in Delaware.
You have to read the article then in Conservative Treehouse. Biden administration seeking delay of Israeli ground war to gain more time for hostage talks. And I'll tell you, the slant, the article itself is written very well, and the rationale behind it and going into how Hamas and Qatar, Hamas, the Muslim Brotherhood, Hamas and Turkey are all intertwined, and how the Biden regime, the Obama-Biden regime, all are interconnected, as well as now this call for a two-state solution, including from communist China, who's been absolutely silent until this happened. And thank you, Joe Biden, once again, you know, and the anti-American Biden regime for allowing this to happen. They have allowed communist China to come in and dictate policy.
Well, and I would just, if my last comment, I promise, is the fact that the longer this takes, what Biden is doing is he's giving Hamas, Iran, Hezbollah, he's giving them nothing but time, because that's mm-hmm. what they need. Like, because right now, every single day, Hamas is busy booby-trapping Gaza City. I mean, they're booby-trapping tunnels. They're booby-trapping buildings. Their landmines are being placed. They're putting IEDs out, all this kind of good stuff to make it even more deadly for Israeli troops to come in. Every day, that gets worse. And I think what happens is after if this keeps going on for a couple of weeks, at that point in time, Netanyahu's got to say, Jesus, you know, we've taken every element of surprise out of the picture here. They've reinforced everything. You know, they probably have had a chance for Iran to ship in some new weaponry to assist in the ground fighting and all that kind of good stuff. And that will make it, I mean, he would have to just say, well, we can't do it. You know what I mean?
So you've watched that TV show Fauda. I know Al has, but have you watched that? Yeah. What's to say that there aren't ground forces have been employed already? Right? I just don't think that, you know, I think the media, for media purposes, it's all, well, you know, the ground operation hasn't been continued, but what's to say Mossad hasn't infiltrated some areas? I find the Israeli mentality different from the complacent, multicultural, politically correct America now.
You know, I'm sure they have expeditionary.
Sure they have expeditionary forces already in Gaza, not in uniform and going through and marking spots. They have to because you need that information before you go into an environment like that. Intelligence saves lives.
And some of the videos coming out are just oh my God, they're just wow. I couldn't watch that whole video I sent you, Al. I'll forward it to you, Holger, but it's disturbing.
Yeah. What were you saying before I interrupted you, Holger? Sorry about that.
Yeah. I thought you got something else?
No,
I interrupted you. I apologize. Yeah.
No, it's like I said, I'm taking the angle that Biden is threatening Netanyahu, and I think for the first time probably ever, I think Netanyahu is concerned because I think he sees this possibility of this, you know, Hezbollah, Iran, Yemen, Hamas attack scenario being, you know, they've already seen their Iron Dome overwhelmed by the number of rockets, okay? So that's got to be concerning the shit out of them, okay? Because they've never seen that before. The Iranians taught that to Hamas, that you could overload the Iron Dome. I think if Biden is threatening Netanyahu with either getting cut off or no aid or actually some intervention by America, I think that's because I agree with you, Vito. I mean, Netanyahu is not some, you know, spineless goddamn, you know, bureaucrat from America kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. He's not built that way, and the Israelis aren't built that way. But at the same time, you know, Israel can't sit there and look at the enormity of what could be presented against them, knowing that they might not have any support from America. You know, they might not get, you know, munitions from America, for God's sakes. And unfortunately, Israel doesn't have a whole lot of people that they can reach out to and all that. So that's my concern, that this ground operation just basically doesn't happen. And the reason it doesn't happen isn't because the Israelis decided it would be too costly. My concern is that they're going to do it is because our government stepped in and threatened them.
And very well could be the issue. I think the Defense Secretary of Israel made a statement to that effect on Friday. So I can't recall exactly what he said, but you know, isn't it ironic though that nobody's talking about how, you know, it's Hamas that has kept their people in squalor. They've kept their people. They've taught their people hate, and yet they have enough money to buy weapons, to buy rockets, to buy missiles, and to fund terrorists, and also to pay a duty to those Hamas terrorists who died, who killed Israelis, and yet they don't have enough money to help their own people. And we're supposed to believe that Palestine is some sort of outdoor prison in the I guess that's in the words of Rashida Motherfucker Tlaib.
Well, I think, I don't know if you saw what I put into the chat room, but I saw it the other day on Twitter that when Biden, you know, gave $100 million to Gaza in humanitarian aid, at that point in time, the total amount of aid given to Gaza from every Arab country in the entire Middle East was 4 million. Okay, now, you know, think about that. You know, Saudi Arabia isn't exactly hurting for money.
No.
Egypt isn't, like, scrounging for pennies and stuff, okay? So, you know, 18 countries in the Middle East send over 4 million, and America, you know, where we got people freezing this winter because they can't afford heat in their homes, you know, we sent $100 million.
Yep. Yep.
All right, boys. Thanks for letting me call in.
Anytime, Holger.
All right.
Take care of yourself.
Thanks, Holger. Great call, as always.
Thanks for the call. You know, Al, you know, that's a really good point, too. Okay, so here you have Jordan rejects the Gazans from coming in. Egypt has rejected the Gazans. And the United States is going to want to send $13.4 billion to humanitarian aid. And yet none of the 57 Islamic states are stepping up. The 57 Islamic states, as noted by the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, the OIC is not demanding that their fellow Islamic states take in their fellow Islamic brothers and sisters. Jamal Bowman, the insurrectionist from, I believe, from New York, wants to take in 1 million Palestinian refugees who have no allegiance, who have no assimilation, nor integration into the United States of America. It's a good point, you know. The Arab states have turned their backs on the Palestinians, so now it's incumbent upon the United States to take in those that are antithetical to our way of life. Where's the other 56 states?
Jordan wouldn't take them. Egypt doesn't want them because Jordan kicked the Palestinians out, or the Jordanians out, under the PLO. Yasser Arafat kicked them out of the country in 1970. Brutally. So every country they've ever been in, they've been kicked out of because they're not good neighbors. They're bad people. And now they're getting a permit. Now they're getting kicked out of Gaza.
So let me see here. In 1969... the United Nations formed the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. And in 1969, there were 25 Islamic states who formed that Organization of Islamic Cooperation, including the terror state of Palestine. Now, the Organization of Islamic Cooperation recognized Palestine as one of the states. So tell me, how come Afghanistan doesn't take the Gazan refugees? Algeria, Chad, Egypt, Guinea, Indonesia, Iran, Jordan, Kuwait, Lebanon, Libya, Malaysia, Mali, Mauritania, Morocco, Niger, Pakistan, Yemen, Saudi Arabia, Senegal, Sudan, Somalia, Tunisia, Turkey, Bahrain. So now we've got incestuous Ilhan Omar. She's pissing and moaning, and yet why not demand that the Gazans be repatriated to, I don't know, Somalia, they're a founding member state along with the Palestine state, right? Well, see, the distraction.
That's the thing is,
right?
Yep, because they're hated. And a good example of that was less than 2.5 years ago when President Trump was president and he came up with the Abraham Accords. Instead of he built a peace or alliances between Israel and her Arab neighbors by bypassing the Palestinians, and that would be Hamas and the PLO. And then once he bypassed them, these other Muslim countries, they realized Israel's not going anywhere. Israel is here to stay, and it's time that we make an alliance, and it'll be financially very fruitful. So what they did is they stopped funding Hamas. They stopped the Muslim countries like Qatar and these other countries who were normally the big funders of Hamas and the PLO. They cut back on their donations. And when Hamas was getting isolated and bypassed and starved of money, what happened was is the violence went down. They didn't have money to fire rockets. They didn't have money to wage war against Israel. And then the first thing that President Biden does is he opens up the money spigots right to the Palestinians, right to Hamas. President Biden is guilty of funding Hamas. President Biden is guilty of funding Iran. President Biden is guilty of throwing gasoline onto a very volatile piece of real estate, and that this is the result of Biden's policies. So this is what President Biden wants, and we know this because he's betraying Israel and putting strings on Israel. No, and part of those strings are there'll be zero civilian casualties. In fact, President Biden has raised the bar so high on Israel that they will never be able to achieve what the United States is telling Israel of how they've got to execute this war in Gaza. It's impossible to have this war without civilian refugees because we don't know if the civilians are civilians or aiding and abetting Hamas. Chances are pretty good that they're not good guys. Hmm. But President Biden, what he's done is, as I guy says, by design, and that this is the outcome that President Biden wants. And now Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, they want what's called a hudna. Now they want a ceasefire. So then it'll give the Palestinians and Hamas time to rearm and then fight another day. But luckily, Israel is not caving to that, which is a very good sign. And we'll have to see how this plays out.
So, you know, the entire movement by the anti-Americans, Rashida Tlaib and incestuous Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley, and Alexandria Cortez, is following the United Nations, and it's following the Muslim Brotherhood groups, because the issue is, since Iran is funding Hamas, and now that Israel has fought back, and they are leveling the Gazan territory, it should be incumbent upon Iran to take all the Palestinian refugees and repatriate them. And I don't know why the United Nations nor the Organization of Islamic Cooperation aren't demanding their fellow states to take. And once again, it's about Islamic domination. If Jamal Bowman succeeds in having 1 million Palestinians repatriated to the United States, it's nothing more than a domination and supremacy move. And it's the Democrat Party, and I'll use that political connotation right now, it's that Democrat Party who seeks to dismantle our constitutional republic, and they're doing it with people who have no allegiance to the United States of America. Remember, there's two Palestinians who founded the organization called CARE, the Council on American-Islamic Rights Relations, Omar Ahmad and Nihad Awad. Omar Ahmad stated, Islam is not in America to be equal, but to become dominant. The Quran, the Muslim book of scripture, shall be the highest authority in America, and Islam the only accepted religion on earth. The problem is that Article 6, Clause 2 of the United States Constitution states, the Constitution and the laws of the United States shall be made in pursuant thereof, and all treaties made, which shall be made, under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land. Now, we have two Palestinians who call for a foreign law to be supreme over our U.S. Constitution. We have four members, sitting members of Congress, at minimum, who support this movement. Those four members of Congress, at a minimum, should be charged with treason, and they should be sent to Gitmo and rot. They are destroying America from within. That is the Muslim Brotherhood objective. This is about Islam right now. This is about domination and supremacy. Linda Sarsour, a Muslim activist in New York City, went to the 55th annual ISNA convention, the Islamic Society of North America, ISNA, and instructed her fellow Muslim brothers and sisters not to assimilate in America. And she received an applause for that from 1,100 people in the audience. My brothers and sisters, do not assimilate in America. And now we have two active, devout fundamental Muslims in the United States House of Representatives who are undermining our Constitution. They have violated their oath of office, along with the President of the United States in Joe Biden and his anti-American regime, who have appointed no less than 100 fundamental and devout Muslims to the executive branch of government. You wonder why these positions are being taken by the Biden regime? The Obama alumni? Don't forget, these are the Obama alum who are running the show. You wonder why they tried to oust, and they were successful in ousting President Trump, and they dismantled each and every one of his policies, including Nancy Pelosi, who falsely accused, along with Rashida Mother Effort Tlaib, of banning all Muslims under the travel ban when President Trump had seven countries that were prohibited from coming to the United States. Those seven countries were North Korea. They are not a Muslim state, but why would you have North Korea? Venezuela. Yemen. Hey, Yemen's a founding member of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. Syria, no form of government. Destabilized. You cannot vet one Muslim refugee. Oh, Syria joined the Organization of Islamic Cooperation in 1970. Libya, a founding member of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, but Libya had no stable form of government. Iraq, no stable form of government. You can't vet one Iraqi citizen. Iran, why? Why would Iran be on that travel ban? Why? The theocratic terrorist regime of Iran. They're coming into the southern border. Some are being captured. Other Iranian nationals, who are probably of the Iranian National Republican Guard, have made it through, forming cells. And what did Nancy Pelosi falsely claim? What did incestuous Ilhan Omar, Rashida Mother Effort Tlaib falsely proclaim? That President Trump banned all Muslims from entering the United States? Absolutely false. It was a national security issue. And President Trump had it right. And the Obama-Biden regime taking over on January 20th, 2021, they rescinded all of these national security efforts, including a stable border, including border security. They did nothing but embolden the Palestinian terrorists, Hamas. Like Barack Hussein to Tora Obama, one of the first things that Joe Biden did was fund the Gazans, the Palestinians, funded Hamas. 2009, the first thing out of the block that Barack Hussein to Tora Obama did was fund Hamas under the guise of humanitarian aid. And what did Hamas do with that $3.5 billion? They built elaborate tunnels. Tunnels with air conditioning, ventilation, tunnels, concrete, into as far as 1 to 3 miles into Israel. And now Joe Biden, the puppet, comes in, and the same Obama alumni within the Obama, the Biden regime, they do the same exact thing. And they've destabilized not only America's national security, but world security, only also to embolden communist China, which, of course, now it's being proven that the Biden crime family has taken buku bucks from communist China with a paper trail. Jamie Raskin, there's no proof that Joe Biden took any money. Where's the proof? Oh, we now have a $200,000 check to start. Funny, isn't it? Biden does something on the very same day that a policy goes through, $200,000 goes to Joe Biden's brother. Joe Biden's brother writes Joe a check for $200,000. Boy, what a coincidence. Holy cow. I wonder where the 51 intelligence officials are on that one, too. Is that another Russian disinformation campaign? Like they talked about Hunter Biden's laptop, which turned out to be authentic? Fucking pieces of crap.
Good point. But on another story, federal officials are warning that members of Hamas, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, and Hezbollah could be crossing through the southern border, according to an internal October 20th memo exclusively obtained by the Daily Caller News Foundation. Welcome to the party, feds. Always late.
And then
always wrong. Native Americans want iconic football team name restored. The Native American organization has issued a call for a national boycott of the Washington Commanders unless the NFL reverts back to the Washington Redskins as the team's official name. In 2020, the football franchise announced the removal of Redskins in a fit of political correctness from its name, and 2 years later introduced the new name, Washington Commanders. This story just cracks me up. Because he's politically... Yeah, because apparently... Because apparently the Native Americans weren't even aware that they should be offended. But never fear, the liberals are committed to defending Native American honor whether the group wants them to or not. And that is the funny story of the week.
Political correctness running amok.
Yep. So now there's going to be chaos amongst the Kansas City Chiefs and the Chicago Blackhawks, which have retained their Native American theme names, along with the FSU Seminoles and a few other teams. So kudos to them for not shaking and submitting to the liberal Marxist idiocy.
Well, let's see if the Major League pussies also get involved and they go ahead and they bring back the Cleveland Indians name.
Yeah, that is just so funny. Because we were laughing when they took the Washington Redskins. I mean, it is such an iconic name. And then they go and they change it due to political correctness. And now the Indians, who they said were offended, were not. just figured out that they weren't even offended. And so now they're suing to get the name back. So we'll keep an eye on that and let you know how that story progresses.
That's funny. That is funny. I want the Cleveland Indians back. I do. I hope they sue for the Cleveland Indians name back.
Oh.
I mean, it's just retarded. It's absolutely dumb. This whole political correct multiculturalism has ruined America's society. And it's the same shit that we're seeing all around the United States. And suddenly, you know, people are starting to wake up. We've had enough. We've had enough.
Yep.
So.
And these liberals, when they get upset, they expect everyone else to be equally outraged. We're not. We just call stupid when we see stupid. And the liberal Marxists are primarily on the team of stupid.
That they are. Well, I do want to thank you all for joining us today. We've got Wednesday, we've got Hank Jones and Poly Sports. Check him out at 6 p.m. Eastern Time right here on Global Patriot Radio. I want to say thank you to everyone in the chat room. I want to thank Bigfoot, our big patriot. Again, I'm playing this My Sweet Lord by Billy Preston. Big, I was just absolutely just amazed by your musical history. So go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. It's a great blog spot. Please check it out. Bring it on, boy. Nice to see you, boy. Dogs, HOV Radio, Gulf Dogs, nice to see you. Hoser, thank you for the call. Mr. Vikings, hi, Guy. Good to see you, Guy. Southern Sense Talk Radio. Hey, folks, listen. Friday afternoons at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, please check out Annie on Southern Sense Talk Radio. Her and her co-host, author Curtis Bennett. It's a great show. It's from 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Please go to Southern Sense Talk Radio Friday afternoons at 1 p.m. Annie does a fantastic job. She has some great guests in her, and it's an enjoyable 3 hours. And I'll tell you, she has some outstanding guests, especially, gosh, what's the gentleman's name I forgot it. I love what she says his name, but I forgot he was with. I'll think about it. And then, of course, Sue from New Mexico. Nice to see you, Sue. Boyd, Alaska. Nice to see you, Boyd. Hey, if you want a break from politics, you want an apolitical show, check out the Simone Nicole Show Wednesday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. That's the Simone Nicole Show on Spreaker.com, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Also, a good friend, Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursdays. Check out Audrey at AudreyRusso.com. And her sidekick, Mr. P, her co-host, he gives some great rants. So check out Audrey Russo. Joe Gibson, he's on Blog Talk Radio, Tuesday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Restoring Our Republic. Saturdays, check out Osama Dakduk and the beautiful Christy revealing the truth about Islam, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Global Patriot Radio. Thank you all for joining us today. Al, any parting shots?
Adios, amigos. We'll see you next week.
Listen, our thoughts and prayers are with our friends, our relatives in Israel. Please pray for the state of Israel, and may God watch over them. May God watch over you. May God bless America. Ciao for now, folks. Gosh, I hope that wasn't too loud for you or speaking over here. I was trying to get the right on that, the song.
Oh, no. No.
God, I was so impressed by Bigfoot. It's just amazing. Absolutely amazing. So I had to play it. Sorry.
No, I didn't realize that Billy Preston covered it. I thought it was George Harrison the whole time. He did a nice job on the cover. It sounds exactly like the original.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it was a great trip. And, you know, I got to say, if you watch that video, the tribute to George Harrison, I really think it's George Harrison's son is playing the guitar. He looks just like him. Oh, my God, a younger version, but looks just like him. And I think
wow.
it's Eric Clapton. Yeah, it's really cool.
That is cool. So, I'll check it out.
You know, all this money that's being earmarked for Ukraine and now holding Israel hostage with this funding and holding our U.S. border hostage, it's just it's truly amazing what we're witnessing today. God,
it really is. It's messed up.
I know. Oh, gosh.
Something's got to give. Things are getting twisted and pressure. The pressure cooker is getting hotter, higher
yeah.
and higher.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And you know, iGuy keeps saying it. It's all by design, and he's absolutely correct. It's you know, this thing just didn't happen by happen chance. All of what's occurring, I mean, to do away with everything that Trump did and to watch how rapidly events unfolded from energy independence to energy dependency and how quickly inflation rose
mm-hmm.
and then not to recognize it.
Yeah, well, you remember when we were talking about how Obama had sent operatives over to Israel to rally the troops and get the ground game against Netanyahu during his election, and they failed, luckily.
Yep.
And now it's those same ground troops that with the judicial reform, that literally split the country. And when they split the country, that included the military as well, because over 1,000 officers said that they weren't going to fight because of this judicial reform, which is just making their Supreme Court more like our Supreme Court and taking absolute powers away from them. This is a beautiful reform. So, yeah, by design, iGuy could not be more right.
Yeah, you know, okay, so really quick on that note, so don't forget. So a friend of mine calls me from Israel, and we were talking one day, and I asked him about that while that protest was going on. And he said, you know what, this is just like America. He says there's maybe 3 to 5% that are protesting. And I was stunned by that number. I said, 3 to 5%? And he said, yes. He says, you know what started? It's the 3 to 5% of the academics that were funded by Obama. And he said it, Obama and Soros. I didn't bring up the name Soros. I didn't bring up Obama. He said, it's funded by Obama and Soros. They were the instigators behind this whole thing. He said, I'm telling you that 90% of the Israeli people don't believe this. He says, it's a small minority. He says, it's probably 5 to 7%, but those are the academics. They're the ones that started it. It's like, whoa. And he did say, unequivocally, he did say that it was Obama and Soros who funded this whole unrest.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's it. I thought that would be it. That's interesting, for, you know, perspective on the ground from directly from Israel.
Yeah. Yep.
God.
A lot of similarities. That's a great observation.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, by the way, did you buy your beachfront house with all cash, $2.75 million, or no?
Oh, in Maui?
No, in Rehoboth Beach in Delaware. Did you buy yours there in 2000, you know, for $2.75 million all in cash?
No, I did not. Tell me more. Did you buy it? Is this a new purchase? Congratulations.
No, but I'll tell you what. Joe Biden bought his luxury Rehoboth Beach home with all cash.
Really? $2.75 million?
$2.75 million. Here, from the Gateway Pundit, Joe Biden purchases luxury $2.75 million Rehoboth Beach, Delaware home with all cash after Hunter Biden threatened his Chinese business partner in a $5 million shakedown. In June, IRS whistleblower Gary Shapley revealed Hunter Biden demanded payment from his Chinese business associates over WhatsApp Messenger. On July 30th, 2017, Hunter Biden demanded a payment and threatened Henry Zhao, a Chinese Communist Party official and director of Harvest Fund Management.
Yeah.
On July 2017 WhatsApp, Hunter Biden threatened Zhao, and on August 17th, less than 1 month later, $5 million is wired from a CEF affiliate investment vehicle, Northern International, to a bank account for Hudson West III, which spent the next year transferring $4,790,375 directly to Hunter Biden's firm, Owasku, according to Senate reports. A few weeks before this desperate shakedown, Joe Biden plopped nearly $2.75 million in cash for his Rehoboth Beach home. Wow.
Hmm. Life's good.
Yeah.
Life's Isn't good in the world of government business. Shakedown money.
Yeah.
How come that is not front page news? Could you imagine? They're trying to kick Trump out of New York?
Yeah.
For property valuations that the bank agreed to?
And President Trump had a check written for a whore who tried to shake him down for $135,000. He demanded that they write a check so there'd be a paper trail. And now there's a paper trail for $200,000, but also for $2.75 million. And Jamie Raskin says, I haven't seen any proof. There's been no proof of anything. Where's the proof? If the Republicans are making accusations.
Good Lord. I'm glad you caught that one. Too bad you didn't bring that up in the show, because that's I haven't seen it anywhere in the news.
No, nowhere.
Go figure.
May have to do a special show.
I think so.
Yeah. All right. Got to go.
All right. Well, you have a great week.
Thank you. You as well. And we'll talk at you, and I'll talk to you sometime this week. Just got to talk about a couple of things. All right.
Sounds good.
All right. And have a good evening, Sue. Good to see you. And
yes,
Sue.
Glad you're feeling better.
And thank you for using Block Talk Radio. God, I just can't get enough of this song. I don't know why. I was so amazed at all of the Hindu gods that are listed in the at the end of the freaking song. Never, ever did I realize that they were the Hindu gods. I don't know why. It just fascinates me. Huh.
Hmm.
All right. Ciao for now.
Adios, amigo.